Comic Conversation, on the comic couch. Those guys are gods. They're taking over my fucking site. It's getting to the point where I don't have a site. It's basically just Mike Axe's facilitator for the best comic book conversationalists to do their thing. If you're not listening to Comic Conversations, you're probably just an idiot and an ass.
Also, I want to again give a shout out and a plug to my friends over at Comic Conversations. They are now to be found full-time over at halfguarded.com. Their show comes out every Wednesday now. I can actually remember it because it's comic book day.
I really love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome!
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Fat Man.
Hey, your sprinkler's really funny. Do you want to go out sometime?
Luro.
When my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut!
And Marvel 2K.
Hi, Tucker. I'm Todd.
Hi, Todd. I'm Tucker.
Fuck Tucker. Tucker sucks.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. You're listening to episode 108 of Comic Conversations, where we talk all things comics for the week of August 26, 2015. And as always, I am joined by my co-hosts, Marvel2K and Lural. Lural, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful.
All right, and Marvel2K?
I'm doing good, man.
All right, let's go straight into news, as always. Turns out the comic book industry felt like playing a little bit of catch-up considering we had nothing from last week, so we got big three news stories. The first of which being Michael Bay is leading a new graphic novel line.
Now, the first reaction, of course, is, oh, shit, because it's Michael Bay. But it's important to point out Michael Bay is
not... You mean that
not,
in a bad way, right?
He's not writing. He's not...
He's funding it.
Yeah, he's funding a new comic line. He is not... writing it, he's not doing any directing, which I guess in comics would be like plotting. Mm-hmm. He has nothing to do with creative except in picking the talent. Now, I don't know if Michael Bay is a comic book fan. Judging by his movies, I would guess he's a big fan of, Mark Miller's shit, but I can't confirm that. He could be a guy who picks smart people and makes an impact, but this is the second new big deal comic launch we've heard about.
Yeah, and they actually have a name already. There's one of the people who's attached as a Hollywood screenwriter. I think he's the guy who he was a screenwriter for Con Air, I think.
Oh, nice.
So that's one guy. But yeah, these aren't like comics, like single issues. These are going to be actual,
Yeah, those are going to be hard sells if you ask me.
Yeah, these are going to be actual, like, a line of, actual graphic novels, so.
Oh, bookstores.
Yeah, bookstores. Yeah, true. I mean, bookstores are carrying them.
That's true. And I'm sure Marvel continues making those graphic novels, so I'm sure there's some kind of industry for just straight to paperback or straight to whatever.
I don't have high novel. So I think the comic market's getting a little big again.
That's good.
It's grown this year, definitely.
Yeah, but it's more grown the same, you know, the same companies that have been around are selling more. It's not like there are a bunch of new indie companies that have sprouted up and are selling hundreds of thousands of books.
No. Well, I mean, look, it's never going
to be. I'm not down on the comic industry or anything. It's just, you know, how many more books am I willing to read?
Exactly. Yeah. Especially with the graphic novels, which so far I think you have read none of the graphic novels produced by Marvel, right? The straight to graphic novel?
Because I wasn't interested in any of them.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. Mate, I'm
if it sounds good, I'll read it. If it doesn't, I won't.
Yeah, and like I said, the writer of what was it, Con Air?
Well, screenwriter.
Con Air was hilarious. Put the bunny in the basket.
Now, that part was pretty great, but. Maybe that's what he'll do. He'll make a sequel to that in graphic novel form.
He probably doesn't own Con Air.
No. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, because that's just studio owns does. That. Yeah. He'd have to license it.
Oh, well. Here's the hoping. Okay, our next news story, Marvel adding an extra issue to Secret Wars.
Well, they sold, you know, a couple hundred thousand copies of issue 5 where nothing happened. So they thought, you know, let's do another issue where probably nothing happens, and we'll...
They saw those sales, and they want to keep the gravy train coming, so it makes sense.
I mean, there is a chance Hickman said, I need another issue. The funny thing about this is, Secret Wars is going to be, like, the relaunch will have already happened when Secret Wars is ongoing. So everyone will be back in whatever the new Marvel U is And then there's going to be another issue of Secret Wars.
Yeah, I think the relaunch is in November, and the final issue of Secret Wars comes out in December.
It's probably an epilogue, I imagine.
Yeah, that's what you say, and that's probably right. All right. I'm excited. More stuff from my boy Hickman. Woo-woo! Woo-woo! Whatever. And our final news story, DC's to enter austerity regime, because they're $2 million in the hole.
Part of it was because they moved the studio.
Yeah. That's what they say.
Well, that, I mean, moving from New York to LA or whatever would be kind of expensive.
Why would they install all these austerity measures?
Because their new line, their relaunch isn't doing as well as they hoped either. That's a problem too. They were promising with these new, DCU launches, they were committed to 12 issues, but as in the case of some of them, like Prez, they went to 6 issues, and they said that any of them they could be canceled at any moment. So
let's be honest about this. Convergence underperformed.
Yeah, it did underperform. That is the truth.
It wasn't as big of a deal as they wanted it to be. Reading it, I completely understand why. It didn't feel like a big deal. And because of that, the relaunch had no excitement coming out of it. Also, it came right before Marvel was doing Secret Wars, which is a much more involved big crossover, and also the first time Marvel had done it.
Mm-hmm.
So their thunder got taken away.
Yeah, and it's funny how they both have polar opposite philosophies behind their big events. DC's doing the slow burn where we're getting an issue almost every month, and DC decided to do the complete opposite, and we were getting an issue of Convergence like every week.
Well, yeah, because you get more sales per month in theory.
And, like I said,
I mean, that's the theory.
I don't know what
it doesn't mean anything. I mean, Marvel ran at a loss for years and they declared bankruptcy and they're doing fine.
Yeah.
DC's never going to go bankrupt. They're owned by Warner Brothers.
I think that DC YOU, you know, you thing, I think it did just fine. But if they were hoping it'd be like a new 52 or even a new Marvel relaunch, like an all new or what they're doing, all new different, I could see why they could see that was a failure.
DC's doing some stuff I'm interested in. I mean, we're reading more DC books right now.
Yeah, but they also claim that one of the rumors is that they're going to remember how they were doing this initiative where, well, you know, the continuity is going to be, you know, may not matter for some books. And they might be looks like they may be reneging on that. They might be going back to New 52 continuity.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think what's going to wind up happening is a bunch of these new titles that they're experimenting are going to go away. The new Superman, the new Batman are probably going to go away pretty quick. And then I think
you remember when we read off all those Vertigo books?
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'm actually interested in reading a few of these. I don't think we're going to get all of those now. Because Vertigo, unless you're Fables, tends to be a lower selling tier of books. The goal of Vertigo is you do a book good enough that it'll sell and trade. But they ain't gonna launch fucking 10 Vertigo books if they're having superhero books and they're cutting their commitment from 12 to 6 issues.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, also to put this into perspective, last month, in the top 50, well actually in the top 10, DC only had one book in the top 10 last month. In the top 50, they only had 11 books.
Ouch.
We'll see if Batman vs. Superman helps them at all.
Also, you gotta think, they sell books at a dollar less per price per book than Marvel. So they make less money on those books even if they sell a lot. And
good for them. They pay less.
They made a commitment with bookstores that they can return any unsold books.
That's a mistake.
Yeah, so they've had a lot of books returned.
Whatever, they'll be fine.
Yeah, at the end of the day, they'll be fine just because they're owned by Warner Brothers.
And I think that Frank Miller book, Dark Knight 3,
Dark Knight 2 is a pile of shit, that'll sell great.
Yeah, I'm saying it may not be good, but it's gonna sell really well, so. Between that Superman vs. Batman.
We're gonna read it.
Yeah.
We may not like it. It's got a good writer on it. It's not Frank Miller.
I'm not sitting there with bated breath, but we're gonna read it.
No, I mean, we're going to read it. We might as well.
Yeah, we read that new RoboCop book he made and...
He's not writing this.
Oh, yeah, you explained that to me.
As Azzarello's writing it. He's probably plotting, but Azzarello's doing the... I don't even know if he's doing the art. He probably is.
Yeah, we cannot read that book because it's such a big deal, but I'm not looking forward to it. All right, let's move on towards the next segment, Little Lightning Round. A first for in quite a while for the lightning round. I talked to these guys. They didn't want to bump anything up to lightning round. So we're just going to proceed with lightning round, what we initially set forward with. My review of X-Men 92 as well as my review of East to West. The funny thing about this week's X-Men 92, it's I think the first time we've had in the Secret Wars book where the antagonist in the book wasn't trying to topple Doom.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
But the
That's different.
Yeah, I know. But the Shadow Queen, Cassandra Nova, was trying to, in fact, dethrone Baron Kelly. So in that way, we had a supervillain.
Well, it's okay, though, because in another book we read, Cassandra Nova was in it, and she is going to try to kill Doom. So
and
it
just,
all worked
and
out.
Just like all things, I'm sure once she, if and when she kills Baron Kelly, I'm sure she won't be satisfied for too long, and eventually she'll want to topple Doom as well. Because that's the meme, apparently, with all the supervillains on Battleworld.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what the crux of this issue was, that she took over a couple of the X-Men, she converted them over to her side, and she said that she had no intentions on killing the X-Men or doing anything to humanity, but the fact of the matter is, she just wanted to kill Baron Kelly so she could be the Baron and rule over the X-Men 92 portion of Battleworld. And also a correction. I'm sure the people that have actually been reading the physical books are probably screaming at me, because I didn't find this out until I actually bought the physical books, but apparently the every issue is a collection of two digital books. So when I say I'd read issue one, issue two, that was the first issue of the physical one. So this would be 5 and 6 of the digital book, but it's the X-Men 92 third issue. Kind of a little bit of Final Fantasy 3-6 action going there with the numbering. All right, and then my final review will be East of West by Jonathan Hickman. It's just pretty much a story of the two nations trying to negotiate with each other, with the main country sending ambassadors and the other country just sending them back the ambassadors in tiny little boxes. And it's there that we have the main person in charge. I think she's the president of the country. She's all, I can't keep sending these people. I mean, that's all they're going to do. And then her advisors all, yeah, you should send someone really important. And then the president decides, oh, I'll just send you. And she's like, oh, my God. And it's then that she goes there. She meets with the ambassador from the other country. She says that the reason why they've been doing this, they have no intentions on negotiating for peace. The fact of the matter is they want the war. They let her go away. But at the end of the book, they show her and she's trying to infiltrate the Mao regime. As far as that part of the country. So eventually at some point we're going to get some payoff where, you know, she's pretty much a wolf in sheep's clothing. At some point, I think in the story, it's going to wind up paying off where she turns on Mao and helps the, like I said, East to West is a book that comes out sparingly, especially with Hickman being tied up with Secret Wars. So I forget a lot of names of these countries, but hopefully once he stops writing Secret Wars and takes some time off from Marvel, we'll finally be getting lots of East to West Manhattan projects, and I think next week we have Dying of the Dead, so I'm eagerly anticipating that. All right, with that all out of the way, let's go into this week's books. The reason why you had me pick that song, I think we're recording this on Saturday. Didn't you say it was your wife and yours anniversary tomorrow?
Yeah, it is tomorrow, but that's not why I picked it.
Is that your song?
I think me and Marvel.
That'd be an epic song.
Me and Marvel were talking about Karate Kid or something.
Ah, did you see that one video where they try to make the argument that, what's his name is the heel? Johnny?
I saw that video. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
No, that
Daniel was a heel. Yeah, there he was. He was a sociopath, and he was picking fun.
Like, they're obviously playing devil's advocate, but they did make a couple of good points. All right, let's go over this week's books, which are as follows. Ant-Man Last Days number 1, Civil War 3, Deadpool Secret War 4, E for Extinction 3, Hank Johnson Agent of Hydra 1, Marvel Zombies 3, Lando 3, Where Monsters Dwell 4, Justice League of America 3, Justice League 3000 Issue 3, Prez 3, Fight Club 2 Issue 4, Ragnarok 6, Book of Dick Fall of Ninjak 1, Dead Drop 4, and Ninjak 6.
Yes.
Great haul of books.
Some good books this week.
There were some very good books this week.
Yes, and some mediocre books. Nothing overly starting offensive. With? Let's start with Ant-Man Last Days, writer Nick Spencer, art Ramon Rosanas.
Ooh, great book.
I had a problem with this book.
I'm sure I have a few problems with it. It was good overall, but I...
Okay, the basic story of this book was so he's hanging out with the chick funding him, the old chick, and finds out that she's running a retirement home for old heroes and villains.
From the Golden Age.
Yeah, she has him steal something that lets her activate, like she activates this Asgardian thing and it makes everybody young for a couple hours. The reason she did this is because she has...
She's a clairvoyant.
She could see the future and she knows the world is ending. My problem with it was Ant-Man believes her that the world is ending. And this was because we talked about this and it came off differently when I read it. He goes to find his daughter since the world's ending and she's not there. She's in Atlanta. He's in Miami. Mm-hmm. He then instead of, and he has time.
And I told you, and I pointed this out too.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was like the same night.
No,
it wasn't. Instead of going to find Cassie, he goes to a bar and sleeps with the new Beetle.
Let's put it in perspective. He was technically there to try to thwart some evildoers or criminals because he said he wants to go out in the last day as a hero. But he was about to leave because there was nothing there for him to do, and he ran into the Beetle, and he was going to take her in, but she was like, are you really going to take me in? I didn't even kill him, and that was a few weeks ago, and you don't even like him.
And also, he did, before sleeping with her, he was reminded of his first conversation with Cap after joining the Avengers.
Yeah.
Because, he was really nervous and he was so proud that he joined the Avengers. Cap knew he was nervous, so he pulled him aside and he put his arm around him. He's like, hey, listen, buddy, only reason we'd invite you here is, you know, if you're worth it, you're here for a reason. Just whatever you do, there's one rule you cannot break. Do not sleep with supervillains, no matter what Tony says. And he broke his vow to Cap. Now, the reason they did this, as we saw on the cover, is when this relaunches, Beetle is going to be a cast member.
Yes.
That's why they did this.
I like the part where Ant-Man woke up from sex and he was like, I'm so sorry, Cap.
Yeah, but I did have a fairly large problem with him being like, oh, well, I can't drive from Miami to Atlanta. I've only got, you know, until tomorrow night.
See, Mark,
well,
the same problem.
It is a long, well, I lived in Miami. It would take him a long time to get there by car, but if he had started that day and then the next day he would have gotten there, I'm sure he
would have got there in the morning.
Yeah.
Or late at night.
Yeah, late night.
No, it already was late at night. He would have gotten there in the morning.
Yeah, but who's to say if Cassie's even going to want to talk to him?
He could have spent his last day with his daughter. Instead, he slept with Beetle, which, you know. No, it was a funny issue, and it actually did build for the future.
I like how he was messing with her in bed, and then he woke up, and he was still wearing the Ant-Man helmet. Which, if you read that one, there was that one issue of Avengers with Hank Pym. Remember? He shrunk down.
Yeah.
And he went down on the Wasp.
Nice.
I imagine he did something similar.
Nice. My favorite part is when the lady that Ant-Man's working for, she gets the Asgardian thing, and she's gonna turn them all young again, and then Ant-Man says, oh no, it's Cocoon!
Yeah.
And then they cut away.
There was a couple of 80s references in this. He's like, look it up.
He's on Google like youngins.
Because there was an undercurrent of Ant-Man's kinda old.
Yeah, he's from, well, yeah, he is kind of old. He's, his decade was the 80s. He's like in his late 30s, at least. He's kind of, remember he was dating Dara Deering and they were bringing up the fact that he was a lot older than her. Cause she's like 24 and he's like.
You said we're going to get resolution on that, by the way, right?
Yes, I saw the cover in the, solicitations.
Okay,
which,
good.
Which I imagine is going to, I imagine there's going to be a conflict with her and, the Beetle.
Yeah, and then what's the
name? Well, not really if she cared that much. He hasn't seen her for months or mentioned her.
Then again, he hasn't seen his daughter since she was in hospital.
Yeah, he's sleeping with other chicks and.
Yeah.
And the you know, Spencer was quick to point out when the Ant-Man was talking to the employer that, you know, they brought up the FF stuff. So we know eventually we're going to be at some play with that. So.
Well, that was to explain why she picked him though.
Yeah.
Like,
really her reason for picking him was, so at the end of the day, in the being an issue, he stole that, Asgardian artifact from the slug. That's all she really wanted to begin with, so she already knew.
No, that's not what she wanted to begin with. She explained that too. She was calling him in, basically telling him to do this or I'll shut it down. But the reason she originally decided to invest in him was that he was a hero and she justified that. Via, you know, the Future Foundation and, or the Fantastic Four. He actually worked for that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's the reason she gave him, but if she's a clairvoyant, she must have known at least ahead of time.
Well, no, well, yeah, I guess, maybe. Fair enough.
Okay. Let's move on to our next book, Secret War number 3, writer Charles Soule, art by Lin-Leo Francis Yu.
You mean Civil War number 3, right?
What did I say?
Secret War?
I'm sorry, Civil War issue 3, my bad.
I had a problem with this too.
Okay.
Okay, you remember all my ranting about Civil War? My problem was characters were all out of character.
Yeah.
Okay, so in this, there's a plot point when people from the Blue are going to the Iron.
Yes.
And they're fighting Wilson Fisk, who is a corpse. Apparently, Wilson Fisk got too fat and murdered Doc Octopus. And attached his tentacles onto him.
Uh-huh.
But the tentacles are sentient. So they murdered Fisk, but then kept his body around because they need a body.
Well, the body was being used by, Stark as a means of something. I can't remember.
Yeah, Stark was using it for something, but number one, sentient tentacles that can build technology. Number two, Wilson Fisk, first of all, Fisk isn't a fucking idiot. If he wanted to lose weight because he couldn't walk anymore, he would.
And I'm sure he could have got surgery.
Yeah, I mean, he's rich. And number two, he wouldn't have fucking killed, he wouldn't have gone to find Dr. Octopus and killed him himself. It's a small thing, but it just bugged me because when I'm reading Civil War, I want characters to be the way they are. And it was a really bad portrayal.
At least in this one, they sort of have an out in the sense that we're talking, this is an alternate reality as far as part of Battle World. So in that way, they do kind of out.
He's got a point there though. It is an alternate reality and they're not exactly the same. And
well, except it's going along with the same Civil War where everybody acted out of character. So it's just nobody else has been that.
Well,
it's
keeping up to the tradition as well of the original.
But She-Hulk does get through. Xavier lets her through. She's trying to convince herself, like, oh well, you know.
If I believe that I'm really the person that I say I am, like a lawyer, then I'm not lying.
Yeah, but she immediately pointed out, but you know, he's the most powerful telepath in the world. Even if his powers are down, he would have been able to see through that anyway.
Nope.
So I'm going with my theory of Xavier realized she wasn't there for a bad reason and let her in.
You know what? I have a small problem with this. Okay, so she infiltrates the Blue. And, you know, she's in her little disguise. She's like, no one can recognize me. She just so happens to walk past some restaurant
Speedball.
Or something. And Speedball's like, wait a minute, that's Jennifer Walters.
Yeah, because she was his lawyer.
Yeah. A little far-fetched, don't you think?
Whatever. I don't know. It's
serendipity.
He's a punisher. Maybe he works on the border there.
Yeah, but he just the way that she.
No, I mean, yeah, it's a hard thing to buy, but they had to move the story forward and using Speedball since he was technically the start of the whole Civil War, you know, fits. I didn't recognize him until she said who it was because he's got long hair now and he's wearing the Punisher jacket and all that. But she goes to get Bullseye.
Because Bullseye was apparently the one who murdered the that woman on the border.
Well, yes, that's what they're alluding to.
Well, and also, here's another thing. Soul is trying to keep the sides even, another thing Miller didn't do. Because mm-hmm. You're like, oh, my God, that's terrible. Tony had fucking Fisk there, and he was using Dr. Octopus tentacles to build him weapons. Like, he was kind of keeping him in prison, but he was still using them. But then at the end, we see Black Panther standing with Bullseye over the captured She-Hulk.
Apparently, because remember at the start of the war, Black Panther was supposedly dead.
Yeah, he died.
It's either Black Panther heel turn or it's like a Skrull.
I don't think it's a Skrull because since issue one, people had pointed out there was some inconsistent, story when it came to the Black Panther. Like, no, I think he's still, like, many people were speculating he was alive and he was eventually going to show up. So this is not a surprise to a lot of people.
Well, he's kind of a bad guy though.
Yeah. Well, he said, I was Black Panther and that. So basically, you know, he's not like the guy he used to be. He's basically saying.
Well, no, but I mean, we saw another Black Panther.
Yeah, that's his son. He's the one with the...
They went on their invasion, only one guy could have the powers at a time. So.
Yeah. Apparently. Oh, and also, in the beginning of the issue, Elektra died. She got killed by Sentinel.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Not a super big deal. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it really doesn't matter because it's a limited series. It's not like we got to know this Elektra.
No.
No. And even in the story, Peter, when he was talking to, I think it was, who was it that he was talking
Beast, to? Beast.
He was talking to Beast. He's like, whoa, Elektra just died. And you know what? I really don't care. Maybe I'm just so numb to this whole war that, you know, just death just rolls off my back. So.
Well, yeah, because a lot of people have died. But he did go off to get himself straight.
Yes. All right. Next books. Deadpool Secret War, number 4, writer Cullen Bunn, art by Matteo Lolli.
They explained, okay, they kept it in continuity.
Uh-huh.
At the end of Secret Wars, Doom gave everyone a wish.
This is sad.
So they could wish something.
Uh-huh.
And as it turns out, Wasp wished that nobody remembered anything that happened with Deadpool. Because she slept with Deadpool.
Uh-huh.
And then he got all ugly because, you know, he lost his pretty powers. He got all ugly, and she couldn't even look at him anymore because he is so gross looking, and she Aww. Felt bad about it. So she used her wit. So Deadpool remembers this.
Yes, he's the only one that does.
But nobody else does.
No.
And they also slightly hinted that the reason Deadpool breaks the fourth wall so much is because during Secret Wars, he was able to see the multiverse. And since he remembers all this,
uh-huh.
that's why he can do that. When he's talking to the reader, he's actually talking to the reader because he understands that he's in a comic book because of what happened in Secret
Wars.
That's
just as good an excuse as any.
It was cute that they even bothered to do that.
I thought this was a fun series.
It was. I enjoyed it.
It wasn't was the normal.
Was this the conclusion?
Okay. Yeah. Because it ended up with Secret Wars was over, and he was back on Earth trying to convince people, like, yeah, I saved the world, and I was there, and this is awesome, and I was just hanging out with Cap, and nobody believes him.
Poor Deadpool.
Yeah, well.
Well, first, when I thought that, oh, they're going to get their wish, and then Deadpool's going to wish they didn't remember, when it was Wasp, it was kind of sad. And then Deadpool justified, he's like, well, I understand her forgetting, but how did everybody else forget? He's like, well, I guess they must have been just so close enough that the wish rubbed off on them all.
Or she wished nobody remembered. Either way, no, it was a fun little series.
It's great!
Yep.
Alright, next book, E for Extinction, number 3, writer Chris Burnham, art by Ramon Villalobos.
What are we talking about?
E for Extinction.
You Claude, sorry. You fool!
Sorry. Okay, so In a further thing to tie in Grant Morrison's entire run mm-hmm. on this book, the army of beasts, including the beast from the future in his last story arc, were attacking, and they fought him, and Quentin Quire showed up and stopped him. Quentin Quire has Xavier's consciousness in him now.
Yeah, it's not really Quentin Quire, it's just Xavier in Quentin Quire's body.
So Xavier Quire realized that all the beasts were John Sublime,
mm-hmm.
but because he has his superpowers, he was able to find, you know, Sublime, the virus, the bacteria,
yes,
and crush it.
He cured it. They showed it was an actual, like, you see the medical example of what a virus looks like, and that's what John Sublime was. And he was infected in all the beasts, and then there was an army in the sense that they would kill one beast, and then the Sublime consciousness would just jump over to another beast. But through Xavier he was able to kill them all.
Yeah, so they killed Sublime, they got done with him, so one of the villains gone. But then the Phoenix Egg hatched, and the Phoenix Egg in it, and this is the last page, comes out, it's Jean Grey, but possessed by Cassandra Nova.
Bum, bum, bum!
Who wants to kill Doom because she has Phoenix powers. Because
she's a heel on Battleworld. That's what you do.
Yeah, on Battleworld. And she has, even though the other Cassandra Nova didn't want to kill Doom yet.
Give it time. She probably will.
She might change her mind. So I wonder if Cassandra Nova is getting brought back after Battleworld.
After all.
Because they're using her kind of a lot.
After all these good stories with Cassandra Nova, I kind of hope they do.
Have they ever brought her back?
Not that I know.
She kind of died.
Yeah, I don't think she's been back.
There's no reason they couldn't bring her back. I hope Xavier gets brought back, so.
I wouldn't hold your breath on that one, but Nova coming back would be pretty cool.
Well, they've teased Xavier coming back already once.
Or in fact, bring both Novas back.
Oh,
Nova and Nova Nova.
She has been back since, her last appearance was 2008, X-Men Legacy number 211.
Who wrote that? Was it Carey?
Let me check. It was.
He wrote that book for a while.
It was. Hold on a second. Let's see.
Live Googling.
yeah, it's running slow right now. I don't know. Come on, damn it. Okay, it was. Let's scroll down. Mike Carey, yes.
Yep. I might have to dig. I've been saying I want to read his X-Men Legacy run.
Apparently, it was in a dream sequence.
Ah.
So,
well, I still want to read his run. I've always intended to. Oh, well. Bring her back. We need more villains. We're going to be lacking Doom. So.
All right. Next book. Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra, number one. Writer David Mandel, art by Michael Walsh. I love this book
exactly
so much.
Exactly what I predicted.
Loved it.
It was about a random agent of Hydra.
Yeah, faceless henchman.
Yeah, he's a dad and he's got a family and they go to like Baron von Strucker Elementary School and he has all the problems you would imagine a Hydra agent has, like his friends getting killed by Nick Fury and him getting punched by Nick Fury and Captain America.
I like
America.
The funeral scene where MODOK's singing. and I noticed during the funeral, one of the person in the front row, pretty sure that was Oddjob from the James Bond series.
It was. He had the hat and he was the short, stocky Asian guy. Yeah.
Cause you see everybody else.
They had a bunch of villains at the funeral.
You see Zemo, you see obviously MODOK's there, Baron, Lady Hydra was there, but then for some reason why, you had Oddjob there too.
It wasn't it was basically just a collection of jokes of this guy's life. Like at one point, they decided they needed a nanny because of all these problems that are getting caused. So he got a better job. He was working for Madam Hydra.
Yeah, he got a position that the guy that opened up when that guy got killed. So he was working for her and making more money, but she was also sexually harassing him.
Yes, she was sexually harassing him, which his wife was not pleased with.
And here's the thing, he's not like a picture of health either. He's just like a pudgy, you know, standard issue guy walking on the street.
He's a 40-something-year-old dad.
But she was also, she's also married to MODOK, so maybe she just likes
Yeah, it did turn out she was married to MODOK. Which is a good joke because they went out to dinner with his boss and his boss's wife, or husband, which was MODOK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he also almost, well, he did, he almost got arrested because, a guy who, apparently, the Hydra kids play T-ball against a team of S.H.I.E.L.D. kids.
Yes. So Hank's which Cole was, Hank's Cole, the secret agent from, S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, he was like, he was gonna have him go to some event with him, which was so fucking weird.
It was like, it was like the Knicks or something. I think it was the Knicks game.
Yeah, it was the Knicks game. And, well, what happened was a guy offered him tickets, but he had to go to some sort of boring function. He invited that guy to go with him because his wife told him, you got to invite someone. It'll be less boring then. So he invited him and his wife, but then he's talking to the guy at, they show a couple scenes of the meetings where all the Hydra agents get together and they just have to repeat Hail Hydra over and over again.
Yeah.
But in between it, he's talking to the guy. And he's like, hey, cause the dude, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent told him he had to cancel. Something came up and he's like, hey, you still got those tickets? And he's like, well, no, somebody else took them cause you weren't going to go. And it was the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. And in the end, the Avengers attacked, including, Rage was there. Yeah. Because
he was wearing the costume. He remember,
yeah,
remember
it was Halloween and he was wearing a Rage costume.
He's like, why are you wearing that? Isn't that kind of racist?
Yeah. but Rage did in fact show up at the end of the issue with the other. And it was so funny too, because like Thor, Captain America, Rage, like he didn't fit at all, but they came to attack, the big event and he had left early. He kept leaving places early. He had left early, but then, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent showed up in his flying car and he's like, Hank, sorry, buddy, I'm going to have to arrest you. And he fucking knocked him out, made his wife hot, and he went home and had her put on her Scarlet Witch costume. and that was the end of the issue.
Yeah.
See, Marvel, yeah, this is a good book.
He wasn't a bad guy.
I remember I talked to Marvel about this book and he was like, eh, it was whatever. Love this book.
It was a good book, but it wasn't great. You were like, oh, that's a great, no, I don't think it was great. It was fine.
He was a bad guy, but he wasn't a bad guy.
Yeah. Nice. He was a family man.
Yeah.
He's just a common man.
It was funny. It was a nice Secret Wars book.
Yes. Another book that Marvel was wrong on. Marvel Zombies number 3, writer Simone Spurr, art by Kev Walker.
I was never this wrong about anything. I just never read it.
this series has been much better than it should have been.
Yeah, I know. It's
from
great.
The start. And this was a very good issue.
Fantastic issue. You can tell the story that they want to tell now. Cause so far they painted the father as this terrible person and you see that she's going through the same, motions through this kid. And it's not until later on the issue where she has the gun, where she's trying to shoot, the oil barrel with Deadpool. She's like,
yeah,
you know
she's
going to
make the little girl shoot him.
Who is she and who's the father?
The dad is, Mr. Bloodstone and she's Elsa Bloodstone.
Okay.
But her dad was a complete dick to her when they were growing up because he had to teach her to be, you know, the dedicated fighter of the undead. And her dad was just a complete prick, took away her childhood. She's got all kinds of problems with it. In the last issue, the kid had got captured, by the zombies. And the zombies actually seem smarter than the other zombies. Turned out the reason the zombies are smarter was because they had Deadpool chained up in the back. And since Deadpool has a healing factor, they would cut off pieces of his brain every night.
Knowing it would regenerate.
So they have, knowing it would regrow, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they never, you know, they did it with he showed a spork. Yeah, it was in fact a spork because they had it on a thing that, They never touched him. They just touched him with the spork, so he never got infected.
Ah.
So he would always be all right.
But wouldn't his healing factor come into consideration, even if he did get bitten?
No, because Wolverine's Marvel Zombie, it overrides that.
Oh, okay. Well, his healing factor is, you know, it's an overdrive compared to Wolverine's, I have to imagine.
Well, yeah, it is. But, I mean, there were Deadpool zombies, so.
Oh, okay.
Apparently him getting bit would still. No one's immune to the zombies, except the little boy who we found out in this issue is a little girl, has some interesting properties. Number one, when they're in danger, somehow the little girl supercharges Elsa. So she gets superpowers.
Yeah.
She starts glowing. Number two, she's immune to zombification. Number three, she's a big pussy, but she's also a little girl. We thought she was a boy the same reason Elsa did. She's got a head shave and she's like 7 years old. You can't really tell.
You can't really tell the difference between the two.
Yeah. So, you know, they go to escape, and at the last minute, she's like, well, we've got to kill Deadpool. It's, you know, it's the only way, because what they're doing to him is sick. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't let him, you know, be chained up and just get eaten every night. That's not fair. So she's telling the little girl, you got to take a shot. You shoot the oil barrels there, and it'll burn him. He can't regenerate from ashes, which probably not true, actually. He probably could.
But for the sake of this story, let's just go with it.
It was, yeah, but she's got the gun on. She's making the kid shoot, and they only got two bullets left. And the kid doesn't want to do it. And she's remembering back to her dad and, you know, the times her dad had killed people, or like her dad shooting a monster through a hostage.
Yeah.
Because you got to kill the evil. That's all that matters. And she's like, you know what? This is fucked up. Kid should have a childhood. And she takes a gun. She blows it up. Then a guy jumps in to attack the zombies, and at this point you realize it's her dad.
Yeah.
We haven't got the backstory yet, but you know it's her dad.
It couldn't be anybody else, yeah.
Yeah, so they eventually go to the flashback of how she split with her dad, and apparently her dad's the Bloodstone had at that point stopped keeping him young. He was old, he was dying, and he's basically telling her, cut the fucking thing out of my chest and take
Jesus
it and
Christ.
Kill me.
Yeah, I know. Earn your birthright and kill me.
Yeah, she said it was the only time she ever said no to her dad. She wouldn't kill him. He crawled off. She assumed he died. Well, she saw his body.
Yeah, they were at the morgue, and they obviously pulled his body out of the drawer, and he was there, obviously dead, but clearly he's bebopping around. So.
But he's not dead, and he's really pissed at his daughter for this, because they've gone through the Deadlands. And they end up at what's presumably the end of the Deadlands. It's just like a cliff and an ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Much nicer there. But her dad has, through spears, a bunch of Elsas speared to the thing. He's apparently been killing all the various versions of his daughter.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand that part. What exactly was that? Just her from other battle worlds or what?
Yeah, because they said, they're like, oh, it's the duplicate, they call it the dupe thing. The fact that there are multiple versions of all people. This is known in Battleworld.
Ah.
He's been collecting all the versions of his daughter and killing them.
Ah.
Because he's balls crazy.
Yeah, she's.
But he also had like little versions of the Bloodstone like growing out of his head and shit.
Yeah, he didn't have it in his chest anymore. It was all over his face and then on his body. And then yeah. I like his little spear weapon where he had the heads of all the Marvel's, a couple of the Marvel zombies, like Bullseye was there, and they were
talking. Yeah, but they weren't dead. He just had the heads. They were talking.
But they could sniff people out.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah, so he's balls crazy. And I imagine in the next issue we'll get, I think it'll be the conclusion of this. This seems like it would be four issues.
Yeah, it's going five issues.
And we'll get what happened to him, and then who the little girl is. They left us with a lot that we want to find out. Very, very good issue.
Yes, I'm very pumped for the next issue. All right, Star Wars Lando issue 3, writer Charles Soule, art by Alex Maleev.
His robot buddy's not dead.
Hooray! Spoilers.
Yeah, his robot parts did, however, take over because he was damaged, and they stuck him in a tube, a healing tube.
It was called a Bacta tank.
Yeah, whatever. They're hoping it'll fix him.
Yeah,
I think. Didn't they put Luke in one of those?
Yes.
Yes.
After he was half frozen in the back on Hoth.
Yeah. So they put this guy,
Lobot.
They put Lobot in one of those to fix him. Meanwhile, the Imperial guards who were in the secret room of the ship were killed by Lando's two mercenaries, his cat mercenaries. And they found out what the Emperor was hiding in there. What the Emperor was hiding was the largest collection of Sith
artifacts.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the universe. Now, this is important because number one, remember the people in the Star Wars world do not know he is a Sith. They right. never knew this. Also, he made it illegal to teach anything about the Jedi.
Yes, because the little alien guy with Lando was once a professor at a university who studied and taught about the Jedi and
their history and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he somehow didn't get killed, but he did get disgraced and fired.
Yes.
From his job because that's what he knew. So, and he's also the one who identified this because if Lando saw all this shit, since nobody knew anything about the Jedi, they didn't know anything about the Sith, they'd be like, what the fuck is all this shit? Well, this guy knew right off. So Lando discovered he is, well, he still doesn't know he's a Sith because even that guy didn't suggest it.
Yeah, that's an interesting fact you brought up because I didn't even occur to me that Lando may not know. I just assumed, he has all that Sith stuff because everybody knows that Palpatine's a Sith, but it never occurred to me that nobody knows that.
Yeah, no, why would anyone know?
Exactly. Because he said all the Jedi are evil, and also at the point in the prequels, they thought the Sith were gone. Like, they thought there was no Sith anymore.
Correct.
I don't know what George Lucas's take on, like, you know, what did they do most of the shit with the Sith was? Was it the fucking, like, the Knights of the Old Republic games? Where did all that shit even come from?
They brought it up as
it wasn't Lucas.
Yeah, they brought it up in this issue where it was just, it started off as just, you know, another, sect of Jedi, but then their approaches and their magic was a lot more dark.
Well, yeah, this would be the new continuity. I'm somewhat interested.
I remember seeing some stuff about like some evil guys with, you know, they use lightsabers like from these PC games back in the 90s, but I don't know if they were called Sith or not.
Well, because that didn't get out until later. That's the thing. Like, cause if you watch the Star Wars movies, the word Sith never comes out. They never say it. But then, you know, in a lot of the stuff that's been written since, there are like stories like the Sith had an empire and there are a bunch of them and they controlled large parts of the galaxy, which if you look into the future of the Star Wars things, it makes sense because that's what Palpatine did. So it all kind of ties together, but I don't, the whole Star Wars canon history is really fucking weird. Cause so much of it is like books and comics and video games.
Well, most of that stuff is canon anymore.
By the way, according to the revised fourth draft from January 15th, 1976 for episode 4, New Hope, in the script it says, the awesome 7-foot-tall Dark Lord of the Sith makes his way into the blinding light of the main passageway, which is Vader.
Okay, so they just left it out of the movies and just never said it.
Yeah, but the word Sith dates back to 1976, at least.
Okay. Well, there cool. you go.
All right, next book, Where Monsters Dwell, Issue 4, writer Garth Ennis, art by Russell Braun.
Well, our main character has completely lost his mind in this issue. He was saved by getting his dick cut off. I think the girl kind of felt bad for him and convinced the Amazons that he was an idiot.
Yeah.
So they sent him away.
Yeah, they demasculated him, more or less.
Yeah, without actually
demasculating.
And he's wondering about her because he's like, wait a minute, are you married to the guy who I knew when I was... So I wonder if this is going to turn out like that chick is actually a dude or was a dude.
Yeah, because she's singing these songs and he recognizes the song, but the only one who ever sang those
buddies. That's not what it was. That's not what it was. She was his wife and he fucking hated the main character and fucked with him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it would make sense that if he was some kind of evil douche, he would have married a similar evil person. Yeah, it could have been a sex change or something. But
that's what I'm saying. That's why he had some context of, he's like, I've heard that song before, but I've never heard anybody else sing that song.
Yeah, she explained, you know, oh, it was my husband.
Cause he's like, oh, you're cut from that same cloth like him, aren't you?
Yeah, that's why she fucked with him so much. But he ends up, escaping and he finds his plane, but all his parts to fix the plane are back with the Amazons. So he gets captured by a group of pygmies.
Yeah, those pygmies. They showed him, I think, an issue or two ago.
They did. Who put him in a pot and are going to cook him. But they're attacked by small dinosaurs. Not so small to them. However, he saves them.
Yeah, he ran over naked to his plane and used a machine gun to take him out.
Yeah, so he killed all the dinosaurs and saved them and then convinced them, okay, we're going to go to war now. And he has no interest in these little pygmies. He basically flat out said, I'm using them as a distraction so I can sneak in and get my parts. And so they go, and the women are prepared for this. They have set blood in the water to attract a gigantic shark.
That was awesome. I had no idea what they were doing until I saw the sharks come up. I'm like, why are they?
It was pretty obvious to me.
They foreshadowed it because one of the first panels you see in the comic was a gigantic shark.
Yeah.
So they did foreshadow it.
Okay, cool.
But while they're getting eaten and murdered, he is sneaking in. He gets his parts and is walking away and has the balls craziest look on his face. Like he's just, and I mean, he lays out his rule and he's like, I'm going to fucking rebuild this plane and then I'm going to fly over the city and I'm going to kill every one of those bitches. So he's looking for death.
It's not enough just for him to get the part and leave. He's got to get his revenge.
No, he has to get his revenge, which is probably going to fuck him.
No doubt.
But we'll see, because we got one issue left of this very silly story.
Loved it. Loved it. All right, next book, Justice League 3001, issue 3, writer Kenneth Giffen, art by Howard Porter.
That was a good book.
They brought up in this how Superman actually doesn't act anything like Superman, which they're explaining away because Guy is becoming more like a woman.
Yes.
So apparently the bodies they plant them in do change. Like whoever the person was before they got, you know, superhero consciousness grafted onto them, mm-hmm. does eventually insert influence. So that explains why Cap is a giant, why Superman is a giant douche, why Guy is starting to feel bad about various things. They did get a Starro forced onto their team.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It turned out that they took over that planet for its own good. Right? Is that how they explained it?
Yes. It was, they approved it because, they were warring and they were about to go extinct and, they're like, well, it was better to enslave them than to have them go extinct and continue
right.
to fight. Yeah.
And that's why Starro was able to file the proper paperwork and take over the planet. But meanwhile, Superman and Batman have gone to, Earth, which is called, do you have that in your notes?
Oh, Tacron Galtos is what it's called.
Yeah, so that's what Earth's called now, and it's a prison planet.
Yes.
Not like a planet with prisons everywhere, but they just put all criminals on that planet, Earth.
It's a dumping ground.
So it's kind of a shithole.
It's Australia.
I'm sure we all had some problems with this issue in that it refers to stuff that happened in the previous series. Mm-hmm. That we are not privy to.
Mm. Yes.
So some, like there was a cop there and he was apparently possessed by something that they had defeated. And, you know, Batman doesn't trust anyone. So he thinks it's still evil. It was in fact still evil. Superman is an idiot. So he's just like, oh no, it's fine. We already beat them. But I mean, we didn't read that comic. So it's hard to know, but Batman suspects that Ariel is not who she says she is.
She's not on the level.
He doesn't suspect Lois Lane. But speaking of that, since that was sort of the theme of this issue, Lois Lane also feeling the effects of this sort of personality transplant because her robot, Elra.
Yeah.
He suggested that maybe the reason, you know, she's been with, because she was upset that it's been a fucking year. should be standing over Superman in a pool of his own blood by now.
Yeah. But he's suggesting, well, maybe subconsciously you don't want them to die, or, you know, you like playing them off like this.
Because you have your hidden weapon that you haven't used yet, and it's the fact that you haven't used it yet is proof that somehow, for some reason why, subconsciously, you don't want to kill them.
Yeah, and the most likely reality of it is she's inhabiting the body of someone who is their ally.
Correct.
So she's probably exerting some influence, which is a big thing in this. There was also a small side story about, you know, Supergirl has shown up, apparently the original Supergirl.
Yes.
Who was on her way to fight Darkseid on Apocalypse, but something went wrong with her ship, so she was in suspended animation for 1,000 years. Woke up. She does not like the year 3000. It's a silly place. they put her in a room with Flash, and Flash is Flash, so she talks incredibly fast, and she just wants to have some girl bonding. Supergirl is having none of this. She did mention that she previously roomed with Wonder Woman, and it didn't work out because Wonder Woman is too distant. But she decides, okay, I can't live like this. And she goes to ask if she could be frozen for another 1,000 years.
And the robot said,
and they're like, oh, we'll work on it. But
there was also another side story with, superhero team called the Super Buddies. It was, Booster Gold, Blue Beetle, Fire and Ice, Flash, I guess, and Hal Jordan.
Yeah. Well, Flash and Hal Jordan are there to train them. Blue Beetle had pointed out, by the way, isn't Booster Gold from the year 3000?
Yes.
Yeah, so this would be Booster's official time period.
No, but it's not that one from the future that went back to the past. It's the one that was hanging out in the past. Cause they did the same gimmick with they did with the Justice League with Booster Gold and Blue Beetle. Remember that when this
yes, before it was the same Blue Beetle as it was the same fire, it was the same ice. I mean, it was a large portion of Giffen's old Justice League.
Correct.
But they were upset with Hal and Flash because they'd been a team for a year, and they hadn't they were still quote unquote training them, mm-hmm. and they didn't trust them. The reason they didn't trust them is because they were fighting a giant turtle man,
which ended up being Jimmy Olsen.
Which is canon, by the way. Jimmy Olsen does turn into a giant turtle man.
Of course he does.
At times. Yes, that is a canon thing that has happened in the past. Nice. Jimmy Olsen can turn into a giant turtle. Why I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Would it make sense if we told you?
I don't know. I am confirming that this is canon. This has happened in the past. Yeah, so they beat Jimmy Olsen. But the point was, they didn't do a very good job of it. Like, he still destroyed most of the city. And then, since he's a giant turtle, yes, he ended up on his back. And they couldn't figure out how to move him.
He's completely defenseless. Yeah. As all turtles are off their back.
Yeah.
Oh, so, the book ends with Batman. He's walking around, and he looks like he's about to stop some mugger. And there's something weird with the plot. You know, like... not with the plot, but
well, the mugger gets dragged into an alley by something,
but he puts the Batman sign on the wall,
possibly in blood.
Yes,
it looked like it was blood. Yeah. He got
in the mugger's blood, and the people are like, "Oh my god, he's real!" So apparently, the Earth still has a Batman of some type. So yeah, wow, going through that, a lot happened in this issue.
Yeah, there was a lot of moving parts.
Didn't feel like it but yeah, dead. You're right. There was a lot of stuff going on.
Well, Giffen is a really wordy guy. Like this is kind of an intimidating book to read because look at it.
The first issue, yeah, that was kind of something it was hard to do. It was an effort, but ever since then I've read every issue thinking it's going to be as, you know, wordy as the first issue. And I'm surprised how easy it is to read. So.
Well, I thought this one was. I'm not saying it's wordy and it's hard to read. It's wordy. It's easy to read because a lot of it's just snippy dialogue, but he is putting a lot of text bubbles and a lot of talking on everything.
I didn't have a problem with reading this issue and the last issue as I did the first issue.
No, that I didn't either. I just, but I noticed it is all I was saying.
I
there's nothing wrong with
it. Yeah. The first issue took me considerably more time than these two prior issues.
First issue was longer, by the way.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense. Right. Justice League of America number 3, right? What? Hello?
Nothing.
Okay. Justice League of America issue 3, writer and art, Brian Hitch.
This wasn't longer.
No.
This took me roughly 4 minutes to read, if that.
Well, that's what happens when you have an artist writing a book.
Yeah, this moved. So, Marvel, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, just making sure. This book moved so friggin' quick. Rao goes along, the Kryptonian god. He ends up, there were some people on the streets, church group asking for money, but no one's donating to them because, you know, they got Rao now. They have a real god who's walking around and actually helping them. So he goes to them and he's like, what are you doing? You give them stuff to charity. He teleports them to Africa. They look at the people and they're pointing out, you know, or he points out that, you know, you collect these pennies, you might feed a couple people, you might get a couple people some medicine, but you're not really doing anything. The evil warlords are taking on most of the money anyway, or the people who run the charities are taking a bunch of the money and using the baby. It's not good. So he turns a shitty part of Africa into a beautiful wonderland. And then apparently has his prophets, his army, move into Africa to depose all the,
dictators,
warlords, all the warlords and evil people and, you know, help out all the people of Africa. The UN sees this and are scared shitless.
And that's when Rao shows up.
How long before he decides, you know, we're not doing good enough? Well, he comes at that very moment to tell them, basically, get fucking stuffed. You're going to do what I tell you, and if you don't, I'm going to make you do what I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So he has now officially taken over the world. Meanwhile, Batman meets a Superman. He's like, Batman doesn't trust him, because Batman doesn't trust anyone.
Exactly.
Superman completely trusted him.
And Batman was down on him, he's like...
But he finds...
Go ahead.
Well, he finds a criminal, like a lifelong criminal, who was on TV talking about how, oh, Rao fixed me and he made me better. And Batman's like, all right, we're going to go see if it's true. We're going to find this guy. See if it's bullshit or not.
Yeah.
And I don't know how finding out if the criminal is reformed would prove that.
Well, it couldn't hurt to investigate. You know, what Batman's trying to say.
Yeah, but his point to Superman was, you know, you're the one who I shouldn't say blame, but he did. He blamed Superman for this happening because he said, you're the one who gave the speech and told people to trust him and it was okay. The people respect you. They trust you. You're Superman. So if this guy's evil, it's on you that everybody's following it.
Mm-hmm.
And Superman, I mean, they gave a slight indication that he's, you know, Batman kind of made him doubt himself a little bit. Which he might have, you know, I predicted that this guy's doing some kind of mind mojo on Superman. Because he was way too quick to agree with him.
Yeah, and they put over repeatedly that he's a Krypton god, so maybe he does in fact have some kind of power over Superman. And the fact that he has the red star, red sun maybe has something to do with it.
And I mean,
We come to find out that, because, you know, all the other members are all over the place, Green Lantern and Flash have been, transported 250,000 years in the past, and they're on Krypton, and they run into Kryptonians, and they find out that Rao is their king, and slash god, and they're,
this is like armor and spear Kryptonians.
Yes.
And they're going to war over something, but we don't know what and why. Presumably it's not good, and we're going to get the reveal why Rao's evil.
But they do know what the Green Lanterns are, which... New 52. Time period-wise, I'm pretty sure it should have been the Manhunters, because the Green Lanterns hadn't been invented yet, but we got the New 52, so that doesn't matter. They recognize him, they know what he is, they're taking him to Rao. Flash ended up getting sucked out of this place... through some reason, and we find out at the end he gets sucked out by the people who in the first issue had all the dead Supermen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
they're fucking around with their time stuff because Flash using the Speed Force fucks with time travel, apparently.
Yeah.
So as he was running around, he got caught up in their thing, and he ends up in, like, their base. We haven't figured out yet how that group is going to tie into Rao.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the that Infinity Corporation, they remember they disappeared in the first issue after they plucked that dead Superman, you know, all those dead Supermen?
Yeah.
Apparently they're now in 1961 because some Infinity Stones made them, which happens, I guess. None of this really matters, though, because the only thing that we get out of this part is that they pulled Flash away from Green Lantern.
Yeah, so we know where Flash is. Also, to remind us that Rao is evil because he killed all the Olympian gods, Wonder Woman ends up on Olympus, which is completely destroyed, except for, like, a little oracle statue that she can talk to explaining it. However, once she got there, she realized there was something surrounding it that Rao put there that makes it so she can't get out.
Yeah.
So he is – I mean, there's no question he's a bad guy.
Yeah. Telegraphing
he might be – he might be one of those bad guys who has good intentions, although seeing old Krypton where he is, you know, their king and is having them go to war indicates he's even lying about that. But he is the bad guy. And it's, you know, God is a good villain for the Justice League.
Yeah, or it could be a thing of where he's so good that even the superheroes and Earthlings, because they're only human, they see the evil in it when he's just a pure being of good. And that the real takeaway from the story.
Except he's murdering people, and he killed gods from another pantheon because they weren't him.
Well, we don't know if it's him that killed them, though. Could have been something else.
We're pretty sure it is.
And then going
they're already running two storylines.
And then going back to your continuity errors, we already know we're in the DC YOU era. So this could be just them playing fast and loose with their continuity, because they said that before when they rolled out this series, that there's going to be a couple series that don't quite play into the overall picture. They're going to have some continuity errors, but it doesn't really matter.
And that's a good point, and this one clearly isn't, because they're doing the Dark Side War over in the other books. So, yeah, okay, that's fine.
And they don't have Batman as a robot or Superman as a guy in T-shirt and jeans, so.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And it's easier to tell the story if they just recognize who Green Lantern is.
Yeah, it's cool. I sort of like this approach because, you know, every book in sort of its own way is isolated onto itself, so you're not begrudging to a certain continuity, and like the writers can tell the exact stories they want to tell. So overall, I like it. I think it's an improvement over the New 52 where everything's.
I like how quick this book moves. He does a lot, and he sandwiches. He's an artist, so he's not using a shit ton of text, but he's sandwiching a lot of story, and he's juggling all the characters pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cyborg did not appear in this issue at all, but I guess he's
out of commission. When they cut to that Infinity Corporation, wasn't he with them? Or am I remembering different things?
No, he was not.
Okay. All right.
No, it was a woman and the head guy who we met.
Okay, let's move on to our next book, Prez number 3, writer Mark Russell, art by Ben Caldwell.
This book, I keep reading it, she's getting angrier and angrier that it's getting shorter.
This is the one time I'm actually gonna join you here, cause so far I've liked Prez, but this specific issue I absolutely love, and it's for sure contender for book of the week.
Yeah, they explained, the real reason she picked,
it was great.
Rickard, her vice president, is the only other guy who hasn't sold out. Therefore, no one would assassinate her.
He's universally hated out in Washington, so nobody wants to see him as president, so they won't kill her.
Yes.
Yeah. But they've already moved in and tried to control her.
Uh-huh.
Like a guy showed up and he offered to put out he said he'd make a $50 million bet with her. And basically he's going to take out a $50 million life insurance policy on her. And if she lived through her presidency, she got the $50 million.
Yeah.
So he's basically saying, I'm going to kill you. Because it would have been in his name. He would have been the beneficiary. But she doesn't like him. She's meeting with him. He explains, hey, listen, most of the time somebody picks a cabinet
and it's due to political favors. Well, you don't owe anything to anyone, so you could pick actual intelligent people.
He's like, you don't understand, and actual intelligent people.
Yeah, they showed her picking, you know, a guy with for science, and God, that was such a funny line.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
This guy has like a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, he's talking about meteors hitting the Earth, and this guy in the audience is like, aren't the meteors sent by God to, he basically says like, to punish us for gay people.
And the smooth I think boys. He said like,
sodomy and smooth boys.
I don't even
and
know
he's
what
like,
that is.
No. He's like, in fact, the dinosaurs were most likely killed by a meteor. And he's like, oh, well, the dinosaurs must have been into some nasty shit then.
This book had so many classic, like, panels. Remember my favorite was at the beginning where there's this news chick and she's saying, oh, it's such a horrible thing. If you want to donate to the fund, just click on the sad orphan.
click on the crying orphan. We get more of Boss Smiley, who runs a horrible corporation. Now, I've seen people mentioning, and they made it more clear in this, that is the Walmart logo.
Correct. Or at least it used to be. I don't know if they use that anymore, to be honest.
I don't think they do. Now, the thing is, they did – I mean, they sort of co-opted it for that, but I mean, in the original, there was a Boss Smiley,
which
was pre-Walmart having the smiley face logo. It's just – now that we've moved ahead in time, given the sort of company he runs, the Walmart comparison works pretty well, but he runs his factories just terribly. First of all, they don't actually produce anything of any use.
Oh, they do though. They produce time.
Well, yeah, they produce time.
I liked it. The president is like, if you mess up on one of your products or you don't turn something in on time, you're literally taking the life force out of our customers.
Yes. And he also, he came down to like give a speech to the factory, which apparently he makes these all the time. Mm-hmm. Although he said he didn't like the song they picked because if you listen to it, it's all about crack babies and death. maybe pick a different song, but he showed up and he told them that, the word hours is now banned.
Yeah.
Everything will be measured in seconds, which is funny because the guy we've been following who worked in the factory, he got hurt. So he asked if he could go home early and he's like, yeah, sure. Just be back in 12 hours. And he goes, I mean, and then he listed the number of seconds that 12 hours would be.
That was cute.
Because he didn't want to get fired. That guy did show up the next day at work and get fired because he was like 8 seconds too slow on his production of the product. And his shipments were like a half ounce too light. And also he spent, 95 seconds too long in the bathroom, which he put above his bathroom break time, which he pointed out, well, I went number two and they're like, actually, the toilets measure your amount of waste and you're Ooh. Lying. So we have to fire you. Yeah. Anyway, he went and he got a job Taco Bell.
No, he didn't. He didn't get a job at Taco Bell. You're forgetting what happened in the first issue. To collect unemployment?
What?
They gotta go through that taco sponsored thing. That's why when he was collecting his unemployment.
Oh yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
He had to sit on the llama and wear the Mexican hat.
That wasn't unemployment, that's how you get, that's the new form of food stamps.
Oh, my mistake.
And he had to sit on a llama and wear a Mexican outfit.
And he pointed out, he's like, llamas aren't technically native to this part of Mexico.
Yeah. You know, he goes, llamas don't live in the desert. Prez, corn dog girl, she gives a very emotional speech attacking the country and the politicians.
This is the only part where the book kind of turned heel for me, but.
Which, well, you would.
Yeah.
But you're very predictable. but she gave her very emotional speech about how horrible the world is. And, well, presumably the people will love her after this, but we don't actually know. There was also, they did the little
deal when they're on like Fox News and they have the talking head show with the live voting on who wins. And a guy was passing, what was that called?
It was a pig law pertaining to meat. But for some reason why in the law there was something pertaining to
if someone has sex with a pig, yeah. And the reasonable politician pointed out, he's like,
why is that in the bill?
Is it really common for people to have sex with pigs? And he goes, one pig is too much. And then he turns it around on him and he's basically trying to point out, this is just a giant bill wasting money. Mm-hmm. It's doing nothing but wasting money. And he's like, why are you defending sex with pigs so hard?
And when they're doing the debate, they obviously show a live polling for each of the candidates. And then obviously
he was at like 98% after that.
Yeah. First it started off like 50-50, but then when he started bringing up, why are you defending these people that are having sex with pigs? And then at the end it's 98 and zero.
Yeah, that was great. So, but we move forward now. We're on issue 3. We only have 3 issues left. So I'm interested to see how they take a 12-issue story and shrink it down to 6 issues, because DC are a bunch of assholes.
As well as the...
Comic fans are a bunch of assholes, because you don't buy frickin' anything but Superman and Batman if you read DC.
It's a 50-50 thing. It's half of the blame, you know, is DC. Go ahead.
Maybe John Shutt wrote this. It wouldn't have been good then, but yeah. You know, people would have
sold. Yeah. Oh well.
God damn.
Like I said, I've liked Perez up to this point, but this issue just absolutely took the cake for me. All right, let's move on.
It was good.
Yes, let's move on to our next book, Fight Club 2, Issue 4. Writer Chuck. Let's see if I can pronounce this right.
Paulnick.
Thank you. And art by Cameron Stewart.
Okay.
I hope you read this today, because I think I read this the other day and I almost completely forget what happened in this book.
No. I read pretty much every comic an hour before the show. So Sebastian and Marla are now working together against Tyler. Because she realized Tyler was back when Sebastian showed up and tried to get some.
Mm-hmm.
But she realized it was Tyler and he'd already done this and she didn't want that anymore. Also, their kid is missing, which I think is a big part of this, because he's had the kid kidnapped. So they are separately running around trying to find their kid and correct, fix the stuff. This issue is basically about that. She teamed up with one of the people who had the one of the little girls who had the rapid aging disease.
That was awesome.
And went to their version of the Make-A-Wish people.
Yeah.
And she wanted to go to every war-torn shithole in the world, because it was the only place they would be safe from Tyler's people from getting them. So she's traveling with her, because apparently the Make-A-Wish people had to give in to these demands. So she's going to like Rwanda and shit. And they're cutting back and forth and she's calling Tyler, who is at Project Mayhem headquarters, which is the house from the book and the movie. He actually goes to a fight club.
Oh, and nobody
wants to fight.
Yeah, and then they also bring up the fact that at this point the whole fight club thing is pretty much a parody. At this point everyone does the catchphrase. Everyone's parodied it to whatever their group is. I think there's like a sewing club.
Every group is called something club. But they did show how Project Mayhem, or what's it called now? Is that what it's still called?
I forget. That's what I presume it is.
Whatever. Tyler's group now has just spread massively. Like, there are women in like the sewing circle club who are like getting missions to go assassinate people. And they're all excited about it. Like, they're just yuppie bitches, but they're like, oh, I get to go to Afghanistan and kill a terrorist.
And I like when, what's the name of the dude?
What dude?
The main guy. Come on.
Sebastian.
Oh, Tyler, or Sebastian, whatever.
Sebastian.
When he's assigning roles to all of his followers, the one guy's bummed because he gets to be like a suicide trooper or something, and the other guy has to be an accountant.
So, oh, I wanted to die.
Yeah, they're all, he's kind of indicating they're all, there's no, I mean, that was in the original too. There's really no honor in this.
No.
It's basically just a bunch of idiots who are bored and want to fuck shit up for no real reason. Uh-huh. He does, however, go to Fight Club though, and no one wants to fight him because he's old. And they just say they'll kick the shit out of him. But then, returning character Angel Face shows up, and he looks like complete shit because apparently after, Tyler almost brutally murdered him, he turned into a big jacked up badass who does nothing but fight.
Good for him.
And, well, Sebastian almost beat him, and his theory was, you know, if I win a fight, then I move up in the ranks, which I still don't quite understand this, because they know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really in disguise. So I'm having kind of a hard time, except for the fact that they're all new.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe he's working to like turn the new guys against Tyler and towards him. But it's really weird because he is Tyler.
We'll see when it comes
down to that. This would be much easier to understand if it was in a book. Because I got to look at the fucking pictures, and it's hard for me to figure out exactly what's going on sometimes.
Yeah, Arnie, the
although in the letters pages, his rise or die,
the
readers viral are, thing he's trying to do.
Yeah, everyone's having fun with it.
It had some good results, like, somebody went to like one of those speaking spells for kids at a Walmart
and they wrote rise or die
out of the packaging, but they typed rise or die in it. Yeah. That's pretty funny. That was my favorite.
One of them was, I think was, you know, those, telephone pole things where they have like a job listing. Yeah. And one of them was rise or die. Fight Club 2 was out.
Join projectmayhem.com.
Good book.
That was kind of funny. So. Yeah, there was that. It was fine.
Not the best issue of Fight Club. I mean, I'm really cool. I really like the series, but this issue didn't exactly blow me away. Okay, Ragnarok.
No, it had some sweet stuff.
Okay, next book. Ragnarok issue 6, writer and artist Walter Simonson.
This was the last issue of the arc, by the way.
Yeah, Thor's a badass and Surtur's afraid of him.
Yeah, he visits Asgard and he finds out that everyone's dead. Sif, his wife, and his three kids. We also get stuff with that one elf, Durgar, I think his name is. He runs into the dead red squirrel and he finds that he has a gate that Odin had made before he died, and transports him to Asgard. And the motivation behind wanting to kill Thor, you know, all along is because they promised, their daughter immortality if he ends up killing him.
Yeah, his daughter's sick. She would die otherwise.
Yeah. That hence why they want to give her immortality, because she's not long for the world. So. But. Yeah. What else happened?
Surtur gave some of his power to, Underling to go get, well, he's not sure it's Thor, but to go get whoever's messing around. However, Thor has god powers, and the guy attacks him as he's wrapping up and getting ready to bury, his dead family and all of his dead friends. So Thor is pissed. And he absolutely owns this guy. They see the big blue lightning from where they are, apparently. So Thor's back, and in the end, Surtur, well, number one, he knows who it is now. He knows it's Surtur. But two, Surtur knows that Thor is coming for him now. So he's like, you gotta fucking get everybody who's left, and we gotta stop this guy. And Thor's back, and it's bad news for everyone. And so that's what we got going on. And then they said end of book one. So we're probably going to get a break now, which it was a good ending point because it leaves you in an, you know, an exciting part of the story where he knows who who's behind all this, and the guy who's behind all it knows Thor is back, so we're gonna have they're gonna clash. And that's what you want.
Yes. Okay. Cool. I'm interested to see where it's going.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Next book. Book of Death.
Fight.
Go ahead. What?
A fight. That's where it's going.
Woo woo. Let them fight. Let them fight. Let them fight. All right. Book of Death. Fall of Ninjak, number one. Writer, Mike Kent. Art by Trevor Hairsine.
Oh, I love this.
Actually, let me continue. Let me continue just real quick. Cover by Kano.
Kano?
What do you mean?
That's all it says.
The Australian with the
robot.
Oh,
face.
Whatever. It's a good cover. With the robot eyes, shoots lasers.
Yeah.
I was all ready to scream about this book and go, "Aha! See, I told you it's not meant to be in continuity because this was pretty much all about New Japan."
Yeah, it was the origin story for New Japan.
But I thought that Ninjak had destroyed it. However, it turned out everything Ninjak did for nothing and New Japan was fine, which means it is in continuity. And they also teased Book of Death, Eternal Warrior, and Book of Death, Harbinger, and Book of Death, whoever else. I hope we get a Book of Death, Quantum, and Woody, but I don't think we're going to.
They also explained how the Eternal Warrior, he was with Ninjak in the future, and he's like, "I have to leave for some time. You might not see me again, but I need somebody to, you know, hold down the fort while I'm gone." I'm presuming he was time traveling to go get that other Geomancer or something. Is my guess. Colin King, he's like about 130 years old in the future. Because they said 100 years in the future. I don't know exactly how old he is.
But he explained, it wasn't the tech. He trained his mind to such a degree.
Yes.
That he could pretty much do anything now. Like, he had like what looked like a robot arm.
Yes, but it wasn't. He was controlling that arm with his mind.
Because live, well, it wasn't really Livewire, but somebody who looked like Livewire came to fight him and she couldn't do anything with it. And he's like, "Oh, that's not," he's like, "That's because it's not technology. This is just me." She was actually created by, Harada.
Yes.
Who is responsible for New Japan. It turns out he liked Livewire. So he basically created a fake Livewire in her image because she was dead.
Yeah, it was, it took her, her memories and, I guess, I don't know, it was like her memories, a collection of her memories and stuff. And,
it wasn't really her.
Yeah, it stuck them in a, I guess some sort of robot or something. Apparently they teased something about how they were dating for a while, but I don't know if he was dating the actual real one back in the day or just, Cause Ninjak had mentioned something, but it could have been just a fake one he was talking about. But yeah, they were offering him a place in New Japan. But, you know, he was able to fight her off with, that one robot.
His army of ninjas.
Yes. Ginger. And, what was that giant purple robot?
Ginger.
From Unity. Ginger, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like you said, they were lifting, Japan from Earth into space.
She's all, wasn't here to ask,
He was all, he was against it because, oh, you're going to start getting all the resources from Earth and pretty soon.
Yeah, he predicted exactly what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, is Harada now father?
No. Well, we don't know, but.
That's what I'm saying because I never read Rai, but I always hear Rai, about father, but I'm like, I'm wondering if father's actually, Harada.
Father is a computer as far as we know.
It could be one of being somebody though. It wouldn't shock me.
I mean it could because they said in Ivar evil Nala at the end of the world mentioned at one point that like father was her descendant or her ancestor.
So that could be Harada.
But it could just be lying too.
Except it suggests that it really was some kind of computer program. What could have happened was we'll find out more in Rai now because he's on Earth. I mean, Harada theoretically could still be down there. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the one part that New Japan doesn't shit on. Like, they leave that alone. Or, you know, maybe Harada just created this. And it also explains the shit running through New Japan was always called Livewire. Mm-hmm. And we never knew why. Well, that's why he named it after her. Because he liked her.
Could have been Harada died already and he had this computer take over for him.
He should be dead by that point, yeah.
Well, remember, he was already old to begin with, but he kept himself young because...
Except Harada's deal was like Utopia on Earth, not Utopia on this fucking...
Well,
also, Harada wouldn't run, what we know of him, he wouldn't run a place like New Japan, because on New Japan, they technically have the rebels living there, and while they were just doing mass executions on him, they were still letting him live. Harada didn't want that. He wanted a world where there was no one to fight him, where everyone was in agreement with what he was doing. So I think he just built Father, and Father went on and did what he did, I think. But we're all guessing. The end of this book was he flies up in Ginger, and he rips New Japan apart. But turns out that wasn't really New Japan. New Japan was cloaked right next to it.
Exactly.
So Ninjak failed in his last mission, you fucking dick.
Well, he wasn't a dick in the future, though.
No, in the future he was no longer a dick. After he learned how to fight cancer cells within his own body with the power of his mind, he was no longer a dick. He was a wizened old fella. But, you know, he's a dick because he failed.
He tried, though. A for effort.
He did try. He did try.
Okay. Let's move on to our next book, Dead Drop.
No, this is a good cup.
Yes, very much
so. It was good. Good issue. Yeah.
Yeah. Dead Drop number 4, writer Alex Cott, art by Adam Gorham.
This ended well. I was a little down on this mini, but I think this is one of those things where if you read them all in one sitting, it actually flows and makes sense. Because everything made sense at the end.
Which I will now do.
Everything made sense in the end.
Uh-huh.
Because remember all the stuff of Exo Manowar in the first issue, the stuff of Archer in the second issue, the stuff with Betamax in the third issue, it all came full circle in this issue.
Speaking of Betamax, remember I messaged you on Facebook and I'm like, no! Because it looked like they were teasing killing off Betamax. I'm like, no! It's the only character I'm reading this book for. And I'm hoping he gets a spinoff at some point.
In the issue, he was destroyed more or less. Betamax was destroyed. No. Remember, he had been kidnapped in the last issue.
Yes.
By those aliens. Well, in this issue, Neville, the real one, not the fake alien one, he uses, Detective Cejudo, she's not a Psi-Ad or an alien, someone with alien armor or, a robot. She was, some woman, I guess he has a past with, I guess they might have had some sort of relationship in the past, to infiltrate this warehouse and take out the virus.
Correct.
Because they were able to track them there. Because remember, they showed it in the last issue, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while there, she ran into those two hackers that were let go by, I don't know if it was Archer or Exo Manowar that let them go. Or it might have been in both issues. I think one of them had the file in the first issue, and then the boy, the male who was with the girl, I think was let go by Archer. But basically because, you know, there are these rebellious youth who, you know, they're trying to, like,
they wanted to study the virus, right?
What's that?
They wanted to study that virus? Is that what they wanted to do? They didn't want to release that into the public, right?
Well, yeah, but they also want – they don't want – they don't want to keep stuff from the public either.
Mm.
You know, like, oh, there's a lot of shady stuff going on and, you know, we're doing this because we believe in it. And so they kind of like, they like her sob story and they kind of let them go. You know, they're not going to do anything. Well, then she ran into them also. And she was in contact with Neville, but it kind of died down when she ran into them. And, you know, they kind of explained her, you know, their whole deal. So she was like, you know what, you can go ahead and go. And then she didn't tell Neville about them. So she encounters Exo Manowar, who's like a prisoner there, as well as Archer, and she's in a suit, and they know that the virus is all over the building. Well, she runs into, like, the living embodiment of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to be taking I can't remember exactly what the purpose of the virus was.
I forgot as well. I read this book a while ago, so a lot of the stuff, just like I forgot what book it was. It was like Fight Club in the sense that I read it a while ago, so I forgot a lot of the stuff that happened in this book. So,
well, anyways, the living embodiment of the virus was like one of these people who designed the, I guess, the virus to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But they because they're dying of it. But, well, they can't technically die from the virus, so they're living in, like, it's basically a living hell for this, you know, person.
Mm-hmm.
So he talks to Cejudo, is like, look, I'll get rid of a virus on Earth. I'll cure these people as long as you find a way to kill me. Which, you know, this wouldn't have flown with Neville, because, you know, he wanted to just take it out.
Correct.
And in the process would have ended up killing Exo Manowar and Archer. But she kind of like went with the guys. I guess she had a plan in place to kill him or something. Cause I guess he couldn't kill himself. It was a problem. But I guess, an outside force could have killed him. So she had it. So, you know, the deal was a, cure Exo Manowar and Archer and make sure the virus is contained and I'll kill you. And that's what she did.
Yep.
And he was pissed, Neville. And, she wrote a letter saying, oh, you know, I did this because of this, but sorry, I gotta go. But, you know, hey, you know, you got what you wanted. So at the end, we come to find out that, Betamax is in
Hooray!
Fact, not dead. He was recovered by those two individuals she let go.
Yes.
And, he's alive again.
He's got from straight out of the 1980s, a Kodak, developing photo.
Polaroid. It was Polaroid.
There we go. Yeah. He has a Polaroid camera on his chest. Which,
yes.
Which I absolutely love.
Slight upgrade.
From the 80s to the 90s.
Yes.
Slowly but surely. He's gotta be a character that eventually gets played in the other books.
Joins Unity?
Yes. I mean, no, maybe not join Unity. You know what book would be perfect for him? If they still printed either Archer and Armstrong or Quantum and Woody.
He'd fit in Quantum and Woody.
Yeah, he'd be
Archer
perfect
and
in Quantum
and
Woody.
Quantum and Woody are all, they're both coming back. It's just, Valiant apparently has the opinion that we can't consistently run comedy books. We have to give them breaks.
Quantum doesn't equal money.
No, Quantum and Woody, sold just as well, sometimes better than their serious titles.
Ah.
It's not that, I think they just think there's a limit on how much you can do at a time, so better to do shorter runs and then let it rest for a bit, make people really want them. Because especially Archer and Armstrong, Quantum and Woody especially, they're not overexposed. They rarely even appear. Uh-huh. We're reading a lot of Valiant books now, and
they haven't brought them up recently. We haven't.
We saw them in the Valiant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like they were pictured,
and that's the last we've seen of them.
Yeah, we haven't seen them since.
Okay, so when they bring them back, I wanted to do something with Betamax because that's so far as of right now, that's my favorite Valiant character.
I kind of want them to be kept separate. they involve Archer and Armstrong, not Archer, but Armstrong pops up
mm-hmm.
quite well, a bit. He was.
Well, this specific series, they had Archer.
Fairly
so.
Important in Valiant. Yeah, it's just, you know, they're comedy characters. I don't.
Armstrong is technically, I guess, a bigger deal because he's one of the Eternal Brothers. So
because both of his brothers have books.
Ooh. Yes, so. And he technically has one that's on hiatus, more or less.
Well, he'll be in Book of Death because, you know, Master Dark's running around and. He was in Book of Death, wasn't he? Wasn't he in the first issue? Whatever. I'm sure he'll be around.
Okay.
Again, I'd like to point out that Valiant is top to bottom probably the highest quality publisher right now.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet.
Yes.
I don't think it's really that close either. Just the level of quality. Every book.
I'd say it's close with Image. Image is pretty good.
Image has variety.
No, because Image releases a lot of shit you don't read.
Yeah, that's the thing. They have a lot of shit we don't read. But everything that Valiant, we more or less read every book of Valiant. There's only like, what, two books we don't read?
Yeah, but that's sort of not fair because they only produce like 10 books.
No, there's at least three. We don't read Exo Manowar. We don't read, and it's not because we don't want to.
Actually, that's not true.
We haven't been reading.
They started a new arc in Exo Manowar, and I didn't much care for that, so.
Well, we don't know stuff
and I've read the previous, you know, however many issues.
That's true.
Yeah, we don't read Exo Manowar. We don't read the Unity and what else don't we think it was
Harbinger still?
I don't know if Harbinger's still around.
Because it got up pretty high, but we don't read that. We read Bloodshot. We read Ninjak. We read Quantum and Woody whenever it comes out. We read Ivar. We read all their specials.
We read Imperium more or less. Yeah.
We're reading Imperium.
We read that sort of kicking and screaming only because they had that tie-in, but.
Yeah, but we read all the four issue minis and all the events and yeah.
The events are always really good.
Yeah, they are. All the minis are good.
I'll tell you, Marvel, I'm pretty sure this is what events used to be. They used to just be minis. And that's when they were good. When they didn't have
those aren't events. Minis aren't events.
No, I said that's what events used to be. They used to be minis. And then someone got the wise idea to make them events and have them tie into books.
Those are called crossovers.
Whatever. Potato, potato.
Well, I'm just saying.
Uh-huh. six of one, half a dozen of the other. Whatever.
All right there, newbie. Shut your mouth.
All right, let's wrap up this week's books with Ninjak number 6, writer Matt Kent again, and art by Raul Allen.
I like this more than the other Ninjak
book. As did I.
It's close. I think I like the other one a little bit more.
You're not wrong.
I like this one because I like the story a lot more. It's got such a strong focus. And I really like,
get closer to your
receiver, kinda buddy. Dick young Ninjak. Like this a lot.
As do I. Yeah, I prefer this as well, but Marvel, you're certainly not in the wrong by picking the other Ninjak book.
No,
it was very good.
In the last issue, Ninjak took down Cannon, and now he's the head honcho of this corporation. He's like the Weaponeer. So his first move as CEO is to bring down the whole damn company from the inside.
His plan is so good.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he's still making weapons.
Yes.
But the weapons all have secret stuff built into them they can't detect that make the weapons malfunction and also have a tracking device so that the good guys can find the people who are using them who are only bad people and kill them.
Yes.
So the weapons are completely ineffective. Now, the only problem with this is even though you can't detect it, aren't they eventually going to realize, wait, none of the weapons we buy from these guys
work? He mentioned that as well.
Oh, okay, well.
But, you know, he said he has other plans, and you know, that are developing.
Well, he's gonna kill all the guys before they realize.
Yeah, that's his plan. He's gonna take them out one by one. And, they wanted him to kind of abandon the mission. You know, the people at MI6.
Yeah, it was too dangerous.
But he's like, look, buy me some time, give me a month, and so, his liaison is like, look, I'm telling you, just, I bet my career on this. Yeah. Like, you bet your career? Okay, he has a month. So, because they have Cannon in questioning, but they haven't been able to get much out of him. So his first target is a villain who looks like a G.I. Joe villain.
Yes. I love it.
Who's kind of a Howard Hughes scientist type.
He's like the richest man in the world, and he just does this stuff for fun now because he has so much money.
Yeah, he had so much money, he removed himself from society completely.
Yes. And, he lives in the woods somewhere in a, he uses like a hologram to disguise a place and, you know,
It looks like a little, you know,
Chateau. Yes.
But it's actually huge.
Yes.
But he has his holograms and his drones and
Ninjak beat him though.
Yeah, he beat him in the old fashioned way. He had to remove himself of all of his technology. Yeah, of all his technology because the guy is able to control a lot of it. So he uses his bare knuckle ninja skills to take down this guy.
Yeah, and track him.
Yes.
At some point, he even lost his vision because the guy was throwing stuff into his eyes, so he had to do it completely blind as well. So,
It's not that the guy was throwing stuff; it's the guy that could control it all remotely, and he has those
contacts that are like
those special contacts that let him, you know, do the heat signature stuff and get readings on things. He forgot to take them out.
Yeah,
which. Good job on that, Ninjak. He's like, oh, this guy can control technology. Oh shit, I forgot about the things in my fucking eyes.
You're just riding Ninjak tonight, aren't you?
He kind of flashed up.
Just riding Ninjak.
Well, Ninjak's a dick in this time period. I mean, they've explained why he's dick, kind of.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh, and, speaking of which, I guess he didn't kill his butler, because his butler's still alive.
But he was older in this. He was like,
16.
He was a teenager.
Yeah.
And apparently him almost killing the butler made the butler leave him alone.
More or less, yeah.
Well, cause he was leaving the house and the butler's like, oh, where are you going? He's like, hey, I know my parents are like super spies and you're apparently the butler, but whatever, I'm leaving.
Yeah. And, so, what else? So yeah, he was able to deliver, his name was LaBarbe, the villain, by the way. He was able to, deliver him to MI6. So they're like, okay, he's got another month after this too.
Yeah, so.
He earned himself another month.
The plot now is, he's got a month for every one of these guys, and Ninjak comes out once a month.
Yes.
Oh, coincidence?
He's got five more guys to go. The Shadow Sect.
Yeah, so we've got at least five more. Well, not necessarily because each issue doesn't have to But then he saves the... You know what would be funny? Because usually, you know, it's like a video game. The hardest boss is last.
Yes.
Yeah.
If they actually have a really lame one last. Like the treasurer of the evil guys. And he just goes, and he's like, all right, bro, you're under arrest. And he's like, oh, you caught me. And that's how the issue – and then he spends the rest of the issue, like, I don't know, making coffee.
There was a backup story, too. It was he was trying to find a killer of that one female agent who was killed, the one he was messing with on the low. And apparently she had – I guess she had a relationship sort of with Neville for a bit.
But that's what they admitted, yeah.
Yeah. Also, I think it was that, that temple or that Buddhist monastery or whatever that kind of appears out of nowhere that I think Cannon had helped found too. And, he went there and he got his ass kicked by all the monks. I don't know. I'm guessing this is where he learns all his ninja stuff.
That's what they alluded to, yeah.
My guess, I don't know. Although, I mean, hearing you ninja stuff, I think, to begin with, but.
Yeah, that one Asian chick taught him a lot of stuff, so.
Yeah, but I imagine it's, all the meditation stuff that he learns in the future, I imagine.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
The yet to determine future.
Yeah. Yeah, now that we're mentioning this, because, remember how I'm suspecting that, because the stuff that's happening in Ivar, that they're gonna break time, so the stuff that happened in all these Book of Death stories won't come to pass because, you know, they changed time. So I wonder if Rye is going to end.
Probably.
Rye's not going to end for a while. They have way too much story to get through.
Well unless they go the route of, this is a different dimension future type deal.
I mean, it's already so far removed that – it wouldn't really matter if they did that, but I don't think they're going to do that.
I mean, I guess they could end Rye eventually.
Yeah, or maybe something could happen.
No,
where...
Rye is going to end. Me and Fat Man talked about that last week. Rye has the definitive endpoint. It's he beats Father, and then Rye will end. There's nowhere for the story to go after that.
So even after it ends, you know, Even with the timeline, it won't matter because that story already ended anyways.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's like maybe they're going to do something to where all that stuff that happens at the end of Rye, or all the stuff that happens in Rye winds up being for naught.
They're going to do a big crossover that's going to have Rye in it at some point.
Might as well. It's a good idea.
Father goes back in time or something. And then they can get a superstar artist to draw all the other Valiant characters.
It's nice that they have
maybe Harada can go to the future.
That'd be cool.
He could. Well, I don't know when, but we're eventually going to get the big crossover where everyone fights Harada. That's coming. That's why Imperium exists, to build up Harada. So eventually we're going to get him as a big villain. It just hasn't happened yet. Just a lot of hints of it.
Okay, cool. All right, with that all the way, out of this week's books out of the way, let's go into Book of the Week. Everything is awesome.
Great feeling all time I had all my life.
Okay, I'm pretty sure what Marvel was going to say.
Yeah, Book of Death, Ninja.
Not a bad pick. Lero, yours?
I have one, and I also have an honorable mention.
I have a couple honorable mentions.
Well, the honorable mention is Marvel Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
But for Book of the Week, I had to go with Ninjak normal style.
Ah, see, that's what I almost did too. That's another one of my honorable mentions. My two honorable mentions are Prez and regular Ninjak. For me, my Book of the Week is going to be Marvel Zombies. Love that book.
Okay.
If Prez hadn't had that little speech at the end, that would have been my Book of the Week. But it got knocked down a couple pegs.
Oh my god!
All right, let's go into next week's book, guys. Okay, I couldn't help myself and I sort of cheated. I made a little mock list. You're gonna list off books, and I'm gonna see what I got on my list already. And I can already tell you what right off of the back. I'm gonna have a lightning round book, Dying in the Dead, number three. I'll be lightning.
There's quite a few books from what I've seen so far. We have Providence, number four.
The greatest book in the history of mankind.
The greatest book in the history of our comics ever.
Of our industry.
Providence, number four. War Stories, number 12. The end of Ennis's self-indulgent Irishman story. They've been captured by the SS. Boy. And you know what the SS do to people?
Butt stuff?
Stuff.
Butt stuff?
I don't think it's going to be butt stuff.
Broken World.
Could be.
Broken World. The end.
Aw. Sad to see that go away.
What?
4-4. I wonder how they're going to end this. Actually, let me read the preview. Let's see what it says here.
It says she arrives at the rocket launch site, but they're on her tail.
Okay, we'll see what happens. I wonder if it's a longer issue.
Broken World, we'll see if they can actually end that. Empty, number six.
Oh, you skipped over John Flood.
Whatever, it's going to be on the
list.
What?
I did? Well, sorry, that's because you jumped in and listed a book, you piece of shit. John Flood, number two.
Okay.
What was that book again? I know we read it, but we read it one issue. But
the one with the crazy guy
that
can't sleep?
That was the weird guy who doesn't sleep.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I picked it for Book of the Week.
Empty, number six. Hopefully we get more jive talking bugs.
Yeah.
Empty seems to be moving towards this conclusion, by the way. I don't, it's not announced, but.
Why do the good books have to end?
Yeah, I know. I like it. Jupiter Circle, number six. Something for Luro to bitch about.
If it makes you feel better, I didn't care much about the last issue.
Lazarus, number 19.
Oh my goodness. What is wrong with me? Continue.
Heavy Week. We Stand on Guard, number 3.
I got that.
Daredevil 18, last issue.
Yep, final issue.
Yeah.
Final chapter in the autobiography of Matt Murdock.
It's the final countdown.
Deadpool versus Thanos.
I put that on the list. Are we going to read that?
I'm not reading it.
Put it on a maybe. Maybe. We'll see how many books we have. I think we have a lot.
We have 18 right
now. Future Imperfect, number 5.
Oh, I forgot that. Let's see. Future and...
Okay, we're not reading Deadpool versus Thanos.
I'll still put on the list.
Groot, number 4.
I'm not reading it. I don't need to read it.
you don't have to say you're not reading books. We already know you're not reading Marvel.
Okay.
House of M, number 2.
I guess I'll read it.
Actually, I don't want to read that book. Are you going to read that, Lura?
I didn't hate the first issue. I'll lightning round it.
No,
Miracle Man.
Oh, my God. Miracle Man. And by the way, the title is Miracle Man by Gaiman and Buckingham, number 1. Apparently, so upset were they that the previous 20 issues were written by the original writer. They had to put the writer and the artist on the front cover of this. I suspect that is a sales tactic. Silk, number 7.
Got that.
Silver Surfer, number 14.
Damn,
there's
tons of stuff.
So Spider Island, 3 of 5. I believe Fat Man is now reading that with me.
Yes.
Okay. Better man than me.
Squadron Sinister, number 3.
Uh-huh.
Are you guys reading Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde?
Yeah.
I'll read it, but I may not review it, or I may just read around it.
I was going to say, that's finally one I'm not reading. Thor's number 3.
Okay.
Imperium number 8.
Yep.
And being that that's Valiant, that is the end.
So, if you exclude Deadpool versus Thanos, we have 20 books.
We did.
And, okay, we are?
Okay, it's not the most we've ever had.
Yeah, and I'm gonna lightning round Dying of the Dead. So, me, it's 22 books. Marvel, how many books are you reading? Do you know right now, or are you gonna have to look at the list later?
I think it was like 18, I guess.
At some point, I'll pull a Marvel and just drop book after book after book. But I always get myself into reading stuff. Alright?
Well, a lot of these, you just never read.
Yes. All right. So from all of us at halfguard.com, thanks. Oh, let me see. How do I do this send off? From all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for listening. And as always, talk to you guys next week. Adios.